Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Andrea Wood, and I'm the practitioner this morning, and I'm so glad to be here with you guys. We practitioners that are on duty today are wearing our stoles, and we're available to pray after the service. We have all these other ways that we would love to pray with you. So if you have a prayer need, please let one of us know in any of these ways. So I would invite you to join me in a moment of prayer. So know with me, as I know, that there is just one presence, one power, one vast love, one light, indwelling, as close as my heartbeat and my breath, this one is spirit. And as we go through transition as a community here at CSL Bellingham, spirit leads the way. It's a spirit-guided process. And we open our hearts and welcome new friends, knowing that we are evolving, we're growing, and we are being the light that we can be in the world. So as we move through this day, I celebrate our time together, knowing that we are blessed. Thank you, Spirit. And so it is.
So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Reverend Lynn in more detail than is usual for a guest speaker, because we're all getting to know each other. So I've got about four paragraphs to tell you a little bit about her. She was first introduced to Science of Mind in 1984. And joined the Santa Fe Church, which was at that time called the Church of Religious Science. We've all changed our name now to Center for Spiritual Living. She served there for more than 20 years as a licensed practitioner. And then she heard the call to ministry, and that was in 2014. So over her years in Santa Fe, she served on numerous committees, as well as the Board of Trustees, where she served a term as a vice president and two terms as president. She was a facilitator of classes, workshops, and retreats, was the ongoing Sunday service MC, which is the role I'm doing now, and she was a member of the Song Leaders team. She was licensed as a minister in 2018 and served as the Santa Fe CSL staff minister under Reverend Duchess Dale, who is actually our next candidate we'll see next week. Then, however, the call came to her to become a senior minister, and she went to United Life Center for Spiritual Living in Oklahoma City. And she served as their senior minister from March 2020 until last Thanksgiving, so 2024. And she says that her biggest success at United Life was the introduction of live streaming, as she began there when COVID began. So they immediately, like we all did, tried to figure out how to do church in that live streaming atmosphere. She did three wonderful fundraisers that were drag shows in Oklahoma City. Then she led the community in a conscious and loving release and successful sale of their aging 10,000 square foot building, which I heard later needed a roof, and it was a good thing to do. So Reverend Lynn identifies strongly with the ideal of servant leader, noting, "My job is to hold the vision and then say yes to what Spirit brings us to fulfill it." So she sees herself as a lifelong learner, irrepressible storyteller, and she jokes that her past lives as wife, mother, hippie farmer, antiques leader, or dealer, sorry, gallery owner, writer, artist, interior designer, and bookkeeper, realtor, and property manager have all guaranteed that she will never run out of teaching stories for the classroom and the platform. So today, this very beautiful morning, let's welcome Reverend Lynn to Bellingham.
Oh, good morning. And I'm still a little choked up from that wonderful song. Thank you, Tabor, wherever you're at. Are you over there? Oh. So, you may have noticed my title for today is Tasting Sweetness. I'm not going to talk about that for a while. We'll circle to it. You will find I am a great circler around too. But at the moment, I want to pay attention to your theme for this month, our theme together for this month of new beginnings. And it's appropriate, right? I also want to point out that what we teach in the science of mind, one of the first and primary things that we know to be true is that things don't happen in the manifest world until there's a thought that creates that manifestation. So if we're going to create a new beginning, it kind of means we got to have a new thought. I was on a Zoom call with a bunch of CSL ministers a few weeks ago, and Reverend Rafe Ellis had this brilliant thing to say. He often does. He said, okay, we call ourselves New Thought. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had one? I was like, oh, yeah, okay. So that's what I want to work on with us today. I want to lay the groundwork for this opening up to having a new thought, so that we can embrace that new beginning. And we don't have to figure out what the new beginning is, but we do have to set it in motion, don't we? That's what we're doing together here. And another basic to the science of mind is the way we move thought into creation, at least here in our human experience, although the Bible says that this is how the Creator did it at the beginning of things. We speak our word, right? The word has so much power. I'm in love with words. I'm in love with language. And I also notice that words are a little bit paradoxical. You know, we've got, on the one hand, they give us this clarity and specificity and focus to get creative, to move us into the process of creation. On the other hand, they are less specific than we may think they are when we speak them. For one thing, they don't just stand alone in a vacuum. They've got all of our background weighted into them. They've got our history and our memories and our emotions and our feelings and our wounds and our joys all packaged up in the word that we speak. And every one of us, even sitting here in a room with like-minded people, every one of us is going to be unique in that package. So when I think I know exactly what I mean with a word, the person sitting next to me may hear and think and feel something similar or vastly different. And that's okay. That's how it works. But we kind of don't notice that necessarily. I want us to pay attention to that. Because one of the ways that we are going to pay attention to giving ourselves permission to have this new thought, this new idea, is if we actually pay attention to what we're thinking and feeling, what's going through our individual minds, what consciousness we're bringing to a moment. This is another thing that's encouraged by this teaching, is to actually pay attention. To don't go unconscious, don't go mechanical. Pay attention to what it is that you are thinking, feeling, and therefore manifesting. And that's what we're doing together, isn't it? So let's play a game to explore this a little further. It's going to feel like a meditation. You folks know the drill, okay? Get comfortable in your chairs. Close your eyes if that's okay with you. Take that deep breath in and hold for a moment at the top and release it all. And I'm going to offer you a word to just entertain in this space that we've created. And just notice what comes up for you. And the word I want to give you right now is the word sky. Sky. Just be with it. Another deep breath in. Come on back to this space. What went on for you? Did you feel a sense of perhaps a little bit of fresh air? Did you get a picture of clear blue or today's clouds or maybe a great big storm? It depends on your emotional state at the moment, what that might look like and feel like. Did you maybe not get any picture at all? Because this is going to sound weird to those of us who are rampant visualizers, but there are folks on this planet who don't visualize. I had a friend in Santa Fe years ago who used to get so cranky when guided meditations came along because we were being told to picture a mountain path and he'd be seeing the darkness behind his eyelids. That was his experience. He did not visualize. Now, they've got a word for that. They didn't coin the word until 2015 because nobody of all of us visualizers noticed that those folks existed. The word is aphantasia, absence of fantasy. Sounds like a diagnosis, doesn't it? Sounds like a negative. They're missing something. But what if they're not? What if it's just a different way of experiencing? My friend in Santa Fe had an extremely rich spiritual and emotional and intellectual and musical life. He just didn't do internal pictures. So right now, if you're like him, first of all, no, you're not alone, but you are, there's not a whole lot of you in the world. And it's okay that this is a difference that exists in the human community. Okay, and that's way off subject, or maybe not. Like I say, I circle a lot. Let's play our game again. Let's play a word. Another breath. Another opportunity to close our eyes. And the word this time is God. God. Just be with it. And another breath of release and come on back in. And what did that one do? did you immediately and effortlessly go to infinite good and joy and light and love? Did you go to, I should be automatically going to infinite joy and love? Okay, did you get a picture of the fierce old guy pointing his finger? Did you go to, I shouldn't get that picture? My very first Science of Mind minister, Reverend Frederick Patchen, used to say there were 11 commandments. Number 11 was, thou shalt not should on thyself. Okay? And then we should not should, but oh well. It's human again. I'm going to tell you, if you got the picture of the angry guy, it's kind of natural if that got planted in you when you were little and reinforced at every opportunity. We're not just going to take a magic eraser to it. We are capable of not giving it any power. I mean, I can visualize the Easter Bunny if you ask me to it, but he doesn't have any power over me. Okay. Friend in Oklahoma City belongs not only to United Life Center there and has for many years, but she belongs to a regional atheist society in Oklahoma. And one of her atheist friends came up to her once and said, okay, now I'm totally confused. How can you belong to this group and tell me that you attend a Sunday service somewhere? And she said, well, here's the easy answer. You know that God you don't believe in? I don't believe in that God either. All right. I like that one. I'll use it more myself. And one of the tools that we use a lot, Ernest Holmes, founder of this philosophy, offered it to us, is all the different words we can use if that word God is still a painful trigger. If that just doesn't work, find the word that works. Ernest's best example is the thing itself. It just is. It doesn't need a name. One of my favorite names for it is spirit. But it's the beauty of it is it, if it's all there is, it holds all names inside itself, and it doesn't care what we call it. It's up to us to decide what feels good and what feels right. There's a wonderful anecdote about Ernest. I have no idea if this is a myth or a fact, but I'm going with it because I love it. And that is at the close of one of his lectures in Los Angeles, this woman came up to him and said, oh, Dr. Holmes, I just love everything you said, and I so wish I could get my husband to come listen to you, but he won't because he hates the word God. And Ernest grinned and said, well, I can fix that. He said, you come back next week and you bring him, and I won't use the word God. I'll say potato. But every time I say the word potato, you'll mean. All right. Any word. Yes, my beloved, is the answer. Because it is all there is. Where am I? Too many pages here. Yeah, here we go. So another step in my own untangling of what God means and how I felt about it and dealt with it in experiencing my own life was that whole indoctrination into all these great big words that I got when I was very little, like omnipotence and omniscience and omnipresence, and all of those meant all, you know, all powerful, all knowing, all everywhere present. And yet I understood that to mean everywhere except me, all around me, again, watching me, judging me, but certainly not me, little old me. So I had to untangle that. I had to deepen into our teaching that if it's omni, then that means every thought I think, every energy in and around and through and for, all of it, every cell of my body, everything I like, everything I don't like, it's all the divine being itself. And one of the tools I use to retrain myself into that knowing, thank you, Centers for Spiritual Living, is that practice of spiritual mind treatment, our affirmative prayer. Because first of all, it taught me we're not praying to something out there. This is not a petition. This is, I'm talking to myself about me and what I think. And listening to myself talk is an opportunity to hear what I think and an opportunity to say, and now I'm going to think something bigger and deeper and better about myself. So practicing that and practicing that and practicing that. Another place within treatment that I found really useful to me is one teacher taught me that the gratitude step didn't have to be gratitude to something or someone, because that sounds like outside. It could be just the feeling of gratitude. I am full of gratitude. I am grateful. I am thankful. And what that feels like without it having to be an other. And I found that very useful. Now, unfortunately, in my own retraining of me, I dutifully wanted to retrain everybody else, so I got really judgy when somebody on the platform would say it differently than I wanted to hear them say it. I'm getting over that. Loosening up. Isn't it wonderful when, again, we allow the person sitting next to us to approach it a little differently than we do? This is miraculous because we all do. We all are going to do it our own way. And whatever's working, for goodness sakes, if it's working, embrace it. Love yourself for doing it the way that works for you. And as I loosened up around all that not other, I noticed myself kind of inching back toward the sweetness. See, I am getting closer to my title again. Of the connection to a beloved. I mean, I'm in love with the poems of Rumi and Hafiz. I think Hafiz is my favorite on the planet. And it's that appreciating the idea and the feeling of the beloved and your relationship to it, the yearning toward it. Because that, okay, honestly, that sounds like an other, but okay, it's in a human tendency to feel that and appreciate it. And there's juice in that. It's lovely. It's luscious. And my title of Tasting Sweetness comes from a Sufi teaching story that I absolutely adore. And that is that there were two masters in a discussion / argument with each other. And one of them was in the camp of the allness, the universal wholeness. And he found this whole beloved thing suspect. And the other fellow, the second fellow, was firmly in the camp of yearning toward the beloved and how good that felt for him. And as they realized they weren't communicating their different perspectives to each other. The second fellow said, well, let me explain it to you this way. I want to taste sugar. I don't want to be sugar. All right. That's the yearning. And I called it sweetness in my talk because I'm practicing low calories right now. So, tasting sweetness. And maybe this is the new thought part of what I'm saying this morning. What if we embrace the paradox of allowing both, allowing our experience of both, that we can be the sweetness, be the wholeness, and taste it? What if? Ernest Holmes spent a lot of time exploring that because he recognized that a potential difficulty with our teaching. When we go to universal law, it's impersonal. But when we go to the angry guy on the cloud, well, that's not appropriate. And what are we going to do about it? And the way he solved it in his talking about it, there's lots of quotes to this effect. The most succinct one comes from the Science of Mind textbook. He said simply, God is not a person. God is a presence personified in us. Okay. Now, he does explain it at more length, and this is a very lengthy quote, which, believe it or not, I edit a whole lot out of to get it this short, but I think it's worth it because it says all of this so well. Ernest says, when we first transcend the old idea of God, we may lose something, because it was a God to whom we could go as we would to a human friend, a God we felt could hear and answer as a person would. When we think exclusively of a universe of law, we no longer have that human-like God to pray to, and may be thrown into a spiritual abyss. But we pass through this state into the realization that we could not be conscious beings unless there were a first consciousness. We could not have become personified unless there were an infinite personalness, an infinite presence, not an infinite person. We regain the idea of a personal God, but without the limitations of a human God. The sense of a personal God returns to us and is in us. Prayer becomes a communion and not a petition. The wave arises from the ocean of infinity and personifies itself through all people. Hence, it's personal to all who sense its inner presence. And that's being sweetness and tasting sweetness. And let's take that into prayer together. I know there's only one life, one infinite love, one infinite wisdom, one infinite good. Loving itself and living itself in and through and for and as all its creation. Living itself as who I am right here, right now. Living itself as each person in this room or watching us via live stream or totally unaware that we even exist or living their lives feeling disconnected from this. It's still the truth. It's still the truth. And standing in that truth, I speak my word right now. I speak my word for new beginnings. I speak my word for a new thought rising up and blessing us and surprising us and ushering in a new way of believing in ourselves and trusting the good that is right here being for us, in us, as us. and celebrating that, grateful for that, grateful for how good it feels to say these words, grateful for what shows up in our experience because I have spoken this word, I simply let it go and I let it be. And please join me in saying, and so it is. Thank you.